You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Pastor Raphael already mentioned my name. My name is Eddie Williams. My name actually is Edmiston Williams. But the name of my father is Eddie, so everybody calls me Eddie on the island. So I go by that name wherever I go, Eddie, because I want my father, even though he's not alive, I want him to be proud to know that he has a son that is bearing his name. As Pastor Raphael said, I am very, very grateful for this, for City Church, and not only the church itself, but for the leadership of the church that has been so instrumental in what we have been able to do on the island of San Andres. The reason why the alternative church exists on the island of San Andres is because City Church exists. And without you, City Church, the alternative church would never have existed. And I want to let you know that I'm very grateful, not only for the material support that you have given unto us, but I'm very grateful for the spiritual support and the encouragement that you guys have been for us, and more importantly, for the various prayers that you have been praying for us as a church family. I'm so grateful for all of that. On the island of San Andres, this concept of church planting is foreign. Even for me, it was foreign. But you know, anytime you meet with Raphael, something has to come out. So I came here in 2019, and I was deliberating actually to continue working at the church that as I was at that moment. And we began talking, and I went to the global gathering of Acts 29, and right there, it was birthed in my heart, the alternative. And God put it there, not for coincidence or accidents, but for a purpose. For a purpose. Right now, what we have seen in the alternative church is that we have seen a lot of young professionals coming, not only to the Lord, but they are coming to invest in the church body so that we can invest in our community. Because of their support and your support, we have been able to establish a program where we are feeding approximately 40 kids twice a week. And through that ministry, we have been able to have access to the community where the church is planted. And not only access to the community, which is a very, very difficult, a hard place for us to do ministry. However, even though it's a hard place, we have people that are professional coming into that community to serve. And that is because of the whole notion of church planting. So we have been doing that ministry. We are trying to start our home group process so that we can develop more disciples and that we can continue to extend the gospel for the glory of God. That is what we are all about. We want to extend the gospel as much people we can so that we can bring God's glory. God's smile. In fact, that's what Jesus said in his parable when he was talking about when one person comes to Christ. He said that the angels in heaven, they smile, they rejoice, they celebrate. So when we see somebody coming to Jesus Christ, we should rejoice. We should celebrate. And that is what we have been able to experience so far at the Alternative Church. So thank you so very much. This morning, I want to begin by sharing with you and studying along with you Psalm 51, as we are going through and we are walking through this powerful series in which we are talking about it is finished. It's ultimately looking at the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his declaration in John 19:30, where he said, it is finished. You notice that he didn't say, this is finished or that is finished. He said, it is finished. Everything that has us bound and everything that has us in a position where we couldn't be free to glorify and worship Jesus Christ, he said it is finished because he put an end to everything that was keeping us back. And when we look at Psalm 51 is going to help us to understand what it means to be forgiven. We are using this concept of cleansing today. How has God cleansed us from our sin? Now we are going to look at Psalm 51 because Psalm 51 is going to help us to understand what is that process that David was talking about, what he was longing for, what he wanted to see in his life so that he could actually worship and praise God. So he wanted to praise God so bad, so very much, but he knew that there was something in his life that has caused him not to be able to do that. So he wanted to praise God so much, and then he began to pray. What scholars call today the prayer of confession. When they look at Psalm 51, that's what they say is a prayer of confession, but more so is a prayer underlining the nature and the sovereignty of God. So when we look at Psalm 51, we find David giving us the backdrop of what happened to him so that he would be able to come to this point of confession and this point of contrition where he's broken over his sin. A person who said that they love God, and when they sin and they are not broken over it, that person does not know God. Because if we know God, and if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, sin can't remain in our lives. Sin can't have control over our life. And this is what Psalm 51 shows, because it is, in the backdrop of it, is a byproduct of 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12, where David was confronted by the prophet Nathan. It's been a year since he has messed up and he has sinned against God. And when he has sinned against God, he kept doing the sacrifices and he kept going to church. He kept doing the things that were normal to him, and he thought everything is okay. He thought that everything was okay. But Nathan, sent by God to David, and reminded him by using a parable and by using a story that was common. And when he confronted David, you know what David said to Nathan? That person that did that must die. And Nathan looked straight in his face and said, "You are that man." Oops. And David said, listen to this, verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 11. David said to Nathan, "I have sinned." But listen to this beautiful part of it. Nathan responded. You can read it, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Nathan said to David, "God has taken it away. You will not die." Oh, that's amazing. That's good news. David deserved to die. He deserved death. And Nathan said, "God has taken it away from you." In other words, God always does not give us what we deserve, and what we don't deserve, God always given it to us. We deserve to die. And God said, "You know what? I'm not going to give you death. I am going to give you life." We deserve to be separated from God. And God said, "You know what? I'm going to do everything in my power so that you, instead of being separated because of your sin from me, I am going to do what I can do by sending my son, Jesus Christ." And that's what John chapter 3, verse 16 said, that God sent his son, his one and only son, into the world. Listen, if you go back in John chapter 1, the scripture said that the people of the world rejected Jesus. And what John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, that he sent his son to the world that will reject him. Even when the world rejects Jesus, Jesus never rejects the world. Can I tell you something? You are never rejected for God. You are never beneath anything or any label that people can give to you. You are never beneath that, because God finds pleasure and value in saving you. Not in you, but in saving you. So this world that rejected Jesus, do Jesus came to the world. So what we find in Psalm 51, I want to give you a proposition or a big idea, a central idea is this. God's cleansing power empowers us to live joyously in spite of our sins. Let me repeat that. God's cleansing power empowers us to live joyously in spite of our sins. What I mean by that, even when we fail God, when we are in Christ Jesus and we've fallen short of his glory and we failed him, his power and his cleansing and his forgiveness give us the power to be joyous and be able to live life full of rejoicing in spite of what we've done. In other words, we are no longer defined by what we've done, but we rejoice in what he has done. Because of what he has done, he has given us the power now so that even when we trip or when we hit on something and we fail from reaching the glory of God, we can still rejoice and we can still be joyous because of what he has done and not because of what I have done. And this picture helps us to understand because this was a situation of David. David has done something horrendous. He has sinned against God. He has walked away from God. David has done something that he should have done. But even though he has done that, David understood that he needed to write something. He needed to put something together, what I call the canvas of the Old Testament, which is Psalm 51. David began to paint his project, his artistic work, which is Psalm 51, on the canvas of the Old Testament to help us to understand and to help us to get a picture of what the gospel is, even from the Old Testament. That the gospel is this. The gospel is God's cleansing overrides our failures. The cleansing of God overrides our failures. When we fail, the cleansing of God and the forgiveness of God is available for us so that we can get up and be completely clean and we can walk clean before our God. That's what the gospel. So Psalm 51, in my opinion, is a preview of what the New Testament teaches in respect to the gospel. Let me give you some example. For instance, one of the great scholars that we've had starting from the Reformation period by the name of John Calvin, this is what he said about Psalm 51. He said that Psalm 51 is a description of the parable of the younger son in Luke chapter 15, verse 12 through the verse 32. You remember that story of the young son that decided that he will walk away from his father. And that time when you decide to walk away from your father and said, "Father, give me your property," it basically what he was doing, he wanted his father dead. And in that culture, that what that meant is that that person deserved to be put to death. But what happened to the father when his son came back in his right mind after he's been messed up, after he has been walking away from his father, after he has rebelled against his father? The father forgave him. And not only that, but the father dressed him up in the best clothing. It's a picture of the gospel according to John Calvin. Psalm 51 is a picture of the gospel. What about Paul? Paul said this in Psalms 51. Paul gives us this picture of what the gospel is. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Paul said this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come." And then in 2 Corinthians, here right there in chapter 5 and verse 21, he said these words, "He made the one who did not know no sin to become sin for us, so that in him," there is the substitution, "we might become the righteousness of God." God put our sin on Jesus who knew no sin and give us Jesus' righteousness so know that we can stand clean before God. So when God look at us, he does not see you and I. He sees his son. As long as we accepted his forgiveness, he does not see us any longer. He sees his son. That's a very important truth. Now, what does Psalm 51 teach us this morning? Psalm 51 teaches about the process of God cleansing when we begin to understand who God is. In Psalm 51, we have this. We have the promise of God. And I want you to notice something as you read with me in verse 1 of Psalm 51. I want you to notice something because we say that it is the confession of David, but I want you to notice first what David begins to do. David never begins saying, Lord, I have done this, I have done the other thing. Look at what David said. Look at how he started out his prayer. Look at it. He said, be gracious to me. Verse 1, Psalm 51, you have it? He said, verse 1, he says, be gracious to me, God, according to what? Your faithful love. According to what? To your abundant compassion. Notice that David never started saying, God, blot out my sin first. God, I have done a crime. I have killed Uriah. I have violated the standards of the nation. I have violated your standard. David began by first recognizing who God is and that God is a promise keeper. Because David is harking back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And David is going back to Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 through to verse 7 in the first part of it. I'm going to read it for you. But David understood that because of God's faithfulness to his promise, he now can come boldly to the throne of grace. Even when he has failed, he can come now boldly to the throne of grace because God made a promise. And his promise, he's going to keep it even when we don't keep it. And listen to what Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 says. He said, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. The gospel before the gospel. That's what the theologian called that. This is the gospel before the gospel. God made a promise speaking to the serpent. And my question is, why would God make a promise when Adam and Eve sinned? They deserve to be put to death. And instead of God turning to Adam and Eve, God turned to the serpent and said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send my son. Why? Because God promised us to clean us, to cleanse us, and he's going to keep that promise. But look at Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to the verse 7. Listen to what God said to Moses after he broke the tablet for the first time. And Moses went back. And listen to what God reminded Moses when he asked him to stand on the cleft of the mountain. God said to Moses, the Lord passed in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord is a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in faithful love and truth. You hear that? It's the same thing that we find in Psalm 51 and verse 1. Abounding in faithful love and truth, maintaining love to 1,000 generations, forgiving iniquity and rebellion and sin. So this, in my mind, I believe that David had this present, and David said, you know what? I know that I have sinned against God. I am full of guilt. I am broken over my sin. I have tried everything. I've done everything that they have told me. My religion told me to do this. My leaders, they told me to do this. I've done it, but still I'm broken. So what is the answer, David? David said, remember the promise of God. My friends, anytime you feel like you are broken and you are down and depression or problem or situation are overwhelming over you, I plead on you, remember God's promise. When you feel like to give up, when you feel like to throw in your towel, remember God's promise. Why? Because the promise of God prompted David to boldly and unashamedly confess his sin. Now we can read Psalm 51, verse 2 to the verse 5. Why David begin to confess all of the things that he confessed in the second part of verse 1 until verse 5 is because he understood who God is. So because of who God is, he confessed. Do you know that God is not going to condemn you like I would condemn you? Do you know that God will not give up on you just as I would give up on you when you fail me? No. God is a promise keeper. God does not give up on us. God always comes to pick us up. I like what John chapter 1 verse 14 tells us, because it reminds us that the embodiment of the promise of God has come to us. Well, listen to what John said. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory. The glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But not only that, listen to Paul's confession to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 13, as he was ministering in a tough environment known as Ephesus at that time, very syncretistic and very people had their own opinion, a lot of subjectivism going on, and Paul said to young Timothy, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. That's right. That line, I mean, you should circle it in your Bible and circle it over and over again and memorize it. You can put that on your refrigerator in your bathroom, that when you are meditating in your bathroom, you can see it. He remains faithful. I love it because Paul said he is faithful. He didn't say that. He remains faithful. Then the question then that we need to ask, why he remains faithful? Listen to what he said. For he cannot deny himself. That's amazing. That we are not faithful. He remains faithful when we are not faithful. And why he remains faithful? Because he cannot deny himself. God is a man that does not lie. So where we go from here, family? The faithfulness of God to his promise gives us boldness to come and confess our evil doings and our sins. Why? Because when we fail God, a lot of time we make guilt take us over instead of coming forward. Not on a shame, not ashamed, but we can come forward and say, God, I failed. I've sinned. And I'm confessing it because I know that you are faithful. Listen to what Stephen Larson said in his commentary on this section of Psalms 51. He said, when a Christian sins, he must confess his sin immediately with deep contrition. Only then can he enjoy forgiveness of God that leads to a restoration of his walk with the Lord. So don't be afraid and ashamed for what you've done. Confess it. Why? Because 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, tells us this. Why we can confess, why we should not be afraid, and why we should not be ashamed. Listen to what John said. If we confess, that word confess in the Greek New Testament means to come into agreement, to agree that you failed, you've sinned. He said, if you confess our sins, he's what? Faithful. But not only faithful, he's just, he's righteous, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. That's not what he says. He said from all unrighteousness. That's it. That's the beauty of the gospel. That when we were stained, he He cleanses us from all of that stain. So we can confess. We can agree, yes, I've done that. Eddie have done that. But you know what? Jesus nailed it to the cross. Jesus placed it on the cross. No, we live in perpetual agreement. Yes, I celebrate what you know about me. Yes, I used to do that. That's my life once. But no, I am hidden in Christ. So God don't see what you see. God see his son. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. That's amazing. So God cleanses us. Why? Because he's faithful to his promise. The promise of God is to cleanse people, not to keep us in our dirt and in our mess. So whatever dirt and mess you are struggling with, come clean to God. Because he will forgive you. But not only that, look at verse 6 with me. In verse 6, we find not only his promise, but listen to this. We find his pleasure. What that mean? It means that God finds pleasure in making us clean. Oh, hold on. Think with me for a bit. I have done you wrong. I have offended you. Would you find pleasure in me doing wrong and come before you and recognize that I have done something wrong that is so offensive? Would you say, I find pleasure in you doing that to me? Would you say that? But look at what David tells us, that God finds pleasure when we can recognize that we need his help and we need his guidance. Listen to verse 6. Verse 6, David make that transition from the confession side of God, of the promise of God, and he brought us here in verse 6 when he said, surely you desire integrity. What that mean? That word desire means to find pleasure in, to find delight in. So the question then that we need to ask, what is it that God finds pleasure in? Listen to it. Surely you find pleasure in integrity. What that mean? Faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness, that we live in accordance to God's standards. Listen to me, your family. God will never bend his values and standard to please yours value and your standard. Doesn't matter what our politician they say. It doesn't matter what the popular preacher may say. God will never bend his sovereign standard to please us. God is not about you and I. God is about his glory. And God created us to bring his glory. And if we are not bringing God's glory, we are falling short of his glory. And that means that we are walking in sin. And God said, no, I don't want you to walk in sin. I want you to walk according to my standard. God will not bend his standard. So here's what David is giving us. David is giving us a picture of a father who finds pleasure in the success and achievement of his children. He says, surely you delight yourself in integrity, in the inner self. And you teach me wisdom deep within. This reminds me of my son. I have two sons. The eldest of them, I remember when I was playing with him. And as I was playing with him, he said a word that transformed my life. I almost dropped him from my hand. The way I was so excited because of what he said. He looked straight in my eyes and said, Dad. I was mesmerized. I was like, oh my goodness, he broke my heart. I started to scream, look, he called me Dad. Finally, I'm a father. So I know could compete with Ralph. I would say, Ralph, I'm a father. You know why? Because my son called me Dad. And you know what happened? I found delight in hearing that word Dad. I found pleasure in hearing that word, that this is the same description that David is giving us here in verse 6 of God. He finds delight when we, as his children, we live up to his standard. When we are people of integrity, when we are faithful people, when we are people that do not walk away from his standard, God finds delight in it. Let me give you some example, two separate examples in the New Testament. You remember Jesus when he was baptized? And you remember Jesus when he was transfigured before his disciples? In Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, when he was baptized, listen to what God said. This is what God said. And the voice from heaven said, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, "This is my beloved Son." And listen to this, "with whom I am well pleased." And it is the same thing that God said of Jesus in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5. He said, while he, Jesus, was speaking to his disciples that went up, the inner circle that went up on the mountain and they met with Moses, Elijah. And when they met with him, listen to what happened. And God said in Matthew 17 verse 5, while he, Jesus, still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And listen to what he said. Listen to him. Why you should listen to Jesus? Because he pleased God. So family, I want to share with you what John Piper said in his book on page 30 and page 56, The Pleasures of God. He helped us understand this concept of God finding pleasure in us. And why he finds pleasure in us? Because of through his Son. Listen to what John Piper said. "The infinite regard that the Father has for the Son makes it possible for me, a wicked sinner, to be loved and to be accepted in the Son." Why? Piper said, "because in his death," speaking of Jesus, "he vindicated the worth and glory of the Father." He added on page 56, "who can comprehend," I love that word, "who can comprehend that God continually burns with hot anger at the rebellion of the wicked and grieves over the unholy speech of his people, yet," that's a contradiction, "yet takes pleasure in them daily and ceaselessly makes merry over penitent prodigals who come to him." Now we can read Psalm 51, verse 7 to the verse 13. In light of what our dear brother John Piper helped us to understand. Listen to what David said. David said, "purify me with hyssop." David understood that the reason why he needs to be cleansed is because he wants to bring, my goodness, I wonder if we want to bring pleasure to God as David was. David said, "I want you to cleanse me." You know why, God? Because I want you to delight in me. How many of you have ever been in the during the summer eating an ice cream? What happens when you are in the blazing heat, a scorching sun during the summer eating your ice cream? Does it remain? It melts. That is the love of God. God meant when David said, "I want to have that delight. I want to know that I am delighting you, my Father." He said, "purify me," verse 7, "with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice." That even in his brokenness, he will still rejoice. Which is making my point at the beginning. That the point of this psalm is that even when we are broken, even when our world is falling apart, because of being in Christ and because of being cleansed and forgiven by Jesus, we can still rejoice. We can still rejoice. We don't have to live in our guilt. And then he said, "turn your face away from my sin and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and sustain me by giving me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways, and sinners will return to you. So, God promised to cleanse us. God finds pleasure in cleansing us. But listen to this. God's plan is to cleanse us. Not only is his promise from creation, we've seen that, but even when we fall and we fail and we fall short of his glory, even in that period, he finds pleasure and he created a plan that even when we are saved and cleansed, that even when we fail and not be able to live up to his glory, he created a plan to keep us in that cleansing experience. Listen to what David helped us to understand. In verse 14, he says, "Save me from the guilt of bloodshed." See, what he did caused him to feel a lot of guilt. Even though he was saved, he had guilt. That's why, family, let me give a pastoral exhortation here. As Christians and as believers, even when we fail, we should never think that God does not love us. We should think we can come boldly to his grace because he will forgive us. David said, "Even with my bloodshed, Lord, I come before you, my God of my salvation. My tongue will sing of your righteousness." David draw this picture of God rescuing, God delivering, God separating. And this is a picture we find also in the New Testament. In the New Testament, we find it in Romans chapter 5. It's not there on the screen, but I want to read it for you. Romans chapter 5, the verse 6 and the verse 8. I will read it rapidly for you. In Romans chapter 5, Paul captured this picture of David talking about ransoming and talking about delivering. Listen to what Paul said to the church in Rome. "For while we were still helpless," some translations have it as sinners, "at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And then in verse 8, he said, "But God proved his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us." Isn't that beautiful? So, church, what I want us to walk away from this morning is this. God did not only pay the price to remove the dirt off our clothes. He also begins this process of removing the stain the dirt has left on our clothes. So God's promise and God's pleasure to forgive us from our sins, he begins a plan to remove the stain sin has left in our life. He does so so we can bring glory to his name. Why? David said in verse 15 to the verse 17, "Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice or I would have given it to you. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. You will not despise a broken and a humble heart, O God." And I close with this. God do not want you to do right. He wants you to be right so that you can do right. We oftentimes want to do the things of God without being the people of God. We must be the people of God before we do the things of God. That's what David said in this latter part of Psalm 51, verse 15 through to verse 19, that he was offering sacrifices. He was trying to do the things of God, but he was not being the man of God. Every head bow and every eye close. As we meditate on Psalm 51, let Psalm 51 be your cry this morning. Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord God, that you will help us to be right before do right. Sacrifices will not save and change us. But the sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that you've made through your Son, Jesus Christ, is what saves us. So, Father, give us the strength and the courage this morning that whenever we have issues and struggles in our community, we will be able to be bold and confess and come before you unashamed and unafraid before your throne of grace. Because you are faithful and you are righteous in forgiving us from all of our sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of His Son. For additional information...